Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 749, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Density.
There you go.
My density has brought me to you.
Yes. So,
did you forget where you were for a second?
I did. I was like, luckily I have it written in my notes in case
where
I ever forget.
So Tom, just, in his advanced age, started to forget where we were recording.
Where am I?
And then I was like, well, maybe he's doing like a Temple of Doom, like a spinoff. Like we're in the, you know.
No.
No. I don't put that much thought into this.
Basement of Bewilderment.
I think everyone knows that by now.
He was going to pull that rock star mistake. Hello, Cleveland. We're in Detroit.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
This is Tom. And joining us once again is Paul Harris. Hey, Paul.
Proud to be here. Happy to help you guys kick off your second 10 years.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's I'm true. Always happy to not be the oldest guy on the show.
That's a...
Thank you.
Is Dan older?
Yes.
Dan is,
I think he's like 2 years older.
Maybe. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
That's why Tom was glowing on that 10-year anniversary.
It's just nice to know there's someone here who will get my references.
I got to tell you, we've been doing this long enough.
You're starting to get them?
I am starting to get them, yes.
Only because I have a finite number. And because of...
I have to do like a Rolodex. We're like, wait a minute. I think I know what that is.
My brain atrophy. It's just getting fewer and fewer things I remember every year.
I know that
year.
Life.
Yeah. So.
Six concussions will do that.
Yeah. All I have to blame is age.
Perfect.
So before we get started, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google. Not Stitcher.
Oh. Hey, Spreaker's moving up in the rankings, guys. Yeah, just by default.
You're waiting for Ryan Reynolds to buy Spreaker and just turn it into a thing.
He should.
Oh, this is Zune's time to shine. Yeah. So
he should, though. Why, if Ryan Reynolds bought Stitcher or something,
he has bought some weird stuff. And not in a bad way. It's just random.
Right? And it's all.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
because didn't he just sell Mint Mobile to somebody?
Yeah, for like $1 billion.
He sold it back to T-Mobile. They leased T-Mobile's service. So T-Mobile,
is that right?
So T-Mobile paid him so they could just use their own service. It's great.
That's hilarious.
Genius.
Well done, Ryan.
But he buys that.
He bought that soccer team?
And he buys a soccer team, and they're like move up into different divisions now. Like, it is insane.
I like to think that all of us who were in Mississippi Grind are very smart men.
Yeah. Mendelsohn got that Marvel contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Yeah.
I bought a copy of that the other day because I saw it at Goodwill. Mm-hmm. And I like to go thrifting. But I didn't. I didn't own a physical copy of that movie. I'm like, this is...
Did you bring it in to get it signed?
Yeah, you should have bought it. Shut up. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That would devalue it.
But I look at that and I'm like, that's Paul Harris's movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
Real spoiler zone.
All Harris. 2 minutes.
That's good.
Where was that? Oh, yeah. While you're there, follow us on the podcast place stuff there.
How about YouTube?
Sure. I'll get to it.
Well, I, you know, I got you a whole forget thing. Things, Tom. Jeez.
I got a whole thing.
When do we start recording?
Yeah.
Too late. Oh,
this is a bad rehearsal.
So you can leave us a review and follow us. You never miss an episode. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers.
Do you want me to read that review?
Do we get one?
From the website?
Sure.
No, I got to find it. I didn't think I was actually going to do it.
Never mind.
While he looks for that, I will do League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Chris Falls, Gabriel Lugo, Librarian Cynthia, Brent Smith, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Travis Tewitt, Tom Dowdy, Chris Sanders, Phil Timon, Julianne Jordan, Chris Magic Man, Gus Butisi.
Hey!
I got to point out, you weren't on the show last week. Uh-huh. I don't know that your father's ever shared an episode. And
oh, I can listen to this one this week.
Yeah, it's God, like,
thank
he's,
God.
He's been waiting for the one you're not here for. So
sorry that my dedication to the show has made that impossible for my father to listen to an episode.
I will let everyone unpack privately he's what like that Indiana possibly Jones's means.
Yeah, father. Trust yes. me. It ain't going to take long.
He's like, we named the dog Joe.
Yeah.
Ralph Tribble, Heather Sachs, Christopher Rex, David Rojas, Spoiler Piece Theater, Invasion of the Remake, Geek to Me Radio, Binge Movies, In Session Film, Ronnie Castle, Mike and Oscar, Colby Mack, Matt Naglia, Ryan Terry, Nostalgia Cast, Feel and Film, and It Pod to Be You. So thank you so much for sharing an episode. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get bonus content and we like you extra. And yes, Kevin, there is a YouTube channel.
Oh, thank you. Just making sure.
Got it.
Work hard on that YouTube channel. You know, the YouTube channel has added more work than probably double the work of just an audio podcast, even with the stuff you got to do thumbnails and you got to post it there and edit the video and all that. So it's like, I want people to look at this thing.
God dang it.
That's why for the clip out, we have a company for that.
Yeah.
That's because that podcast makes money.
That's there is that.
Yeah.
I will note that Paul Harris's camera has stopped working again.
Kevin sets up the camera.
Yeah.
Joe will read a review.
This is from Robert on Placeholder. I don't know what that is.
Is this the one that says you're the best looking one?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Sort of. My gets red like this when I'm horny. That's what it says.
Okay.
I'm not even making this up. I'm looking at it. Robert, good luck, bud.
Congratulations on your red vagina.
Yeah. I don't. Something tells me that ain't right, but
I would.
What see, do I know?
So
I
would. You think somebody misclicked?
Either way, it's fan. No, I mean, like, that shouldn't do that. I don't think it should be red. You're not
spoiled,
wrong.
But yeah. I don't think it's a movie.
So, Robert,
but thanks, Robert.
Our advice to you is go see your OBGYN.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Please.
I think it's time for a pap smear.
Hope it's for the best, bud.
Okay.
Well, that was a great review.
Oh, yes.
I mean, all right, see you guys.
Please wonderful. Don't ever.
What about YouTube?
I did the YouTube. I did. See, the oldest guy here forgot I already did the YouTube.
Hey, right. So. Hey, what about YouTube? I didn't hear it.
Anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
Man, this series, well, the first three hold like a very special place in my heart.
It's funny when people say that. Hmm. Like, because, like, I think Paul is similar age group. We'll remember when Temple of Doom came out, people hated it.
Yep.
It got on
really
relentlessly.
Because Raiders were so phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh. Like, and so it's funny how Temple, it's been kind of retconned in the public consciousness as, oh, the first three are great. And I'm like, no. Like, and I remember in interviews with Spielberg saying when Last Crusade came out, they're like, why did you come back and make another one? And he was like, because Temple of Doom was a piece of shit.
That's so crazy.
And I wanted to end the series on a high note.
And Crusade is so feels so similar to Raiders.
Right.
They're clearly going for another Raiders.
I think Crusade is a little more like family friendly.
It's a little bit more Saturday morning
it's
cartoon.
Funny.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Well, you know, Temple of Doom is the one that caused the MPAA to put in the PG-13 rating, right. Which
it's
didn't
like
exist
that
before
and
that.
Gremlins and back to back.
But, yeah. Yeah.
But also Raiders, they're like, we saw what this guy did back there. I mean, they're melting
he melted his face
there's
off.
Blood everywhere. Like, they were like, listen, buddy, you got away with it a couple of times here. But
Temple, right. It's the heart scene. It's the heart scene in Temple of Doom. It's the gremlin in a microwave and blender.
Yep.
And it's that kitchen sequence in Gremlins that ultimately causes PG-13.
But I think, I mean,
first PG-13 movie?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, wait, Splash?
No.
No, that's what I was going to say.
That's the first I think it was the first PG-13 movie for Disney.
Oh.
First PG-13 movie, Red Dawn.
Oh.
Man, that's a good movie.
Okay.
Second PG-13 movie?
Splash.
Night of the Comet.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Third, Splash.
Splash. They're just going to keep going. Everybody.
Yeah, he's like, it'll be one of them eventually. But
I just watched all these movies, right? So yeah. I watched all five Indiana Jones movies in the past week.
Well,
and watching Raiders, though, I think Raiders is more violent. Like, when we look at the heart pulling out thing now, it's not really anything compared to bloody face melting.
It's not just that. It's
the guy getting the propeller.
That's exactly where I was going with it.
Blood splatters everywhere. So watching Raiders, I think that's the one that should have spurred them. I don't know how we got away with that.
It was too new.
Getting like the PG.
They were too new. Like, I mean,
look at Jaws. Jaws is PG.
Yeah. Like, Jaws is, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So he did it over and over and over again.
He's like, try me.
He's solely responsible.
But I do. I think, like, I saw Last Crusade in theaters. I saw that in theaters. Yeah. And it's one of the first movies I remember seeing in theaters. But
it was my first Indiana Jones movie. I think people around our age love Crusaders the most because it's the one that was newest. So it just got seen the most.
But Raiders, I think, is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yep. I think Raiders is better, but Last Crusade is more fun. There's something about it where I go back and forth. Like, if I were to rank these movies.
It's more jokey.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, you got No Ticket, The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword. They do it over and over again.
No Ticket.
Yeah, I love it. The lines are so good. The dad jokes in Last Crusade. If I were to rank these, so I watched them all, so I at least want to get a ranking out there. So I think if we're doing best, not just favorite, but I think it goes Raiders, Crusade, Temple of Doom, this one, and then Crystal Skull.
See, I think I put this over Temple.
You skipped a blank before Crystal Skull.
When I was on Twitter before I saw the new one, I go, you know, 1, 2, 3, and I go, dot, 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 dot. I mean, Crystal Skull is...
You're like Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Right.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that, and that goes before the...
You know, he shows up in one of those episodes.
Yeah.
Which I didn't
realize.
Where he's
like 50, and he's like, 20 years ago when I stopped doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Playing a saxophone. That's the whole premise of that thing.
Oh boy.
And I know Young Indiana Jones Chronicles has issues because they re-edited them when they put them on home video. And so like, it was weird. They were like, we're ones missing, and they would run them out of order and they would change the framing sequences. And so I don't know. I know it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I don't know which version we have on Disney Plus.
Right.
I just know that like, anyone that was trying to watch it before the age of streaming, there were always all sorts of issues about like how they had adjusted things.
Is it any good? Because I didn't get a chance. I was like,
I think it's fine.
I watched one or two when they aired originally, and I remember being decent for what they were. Doesn't River Phoenix show up in one too?
Was he supposed to before he passed away? Because I mean,
I don't remember. He was a kid in Crusade. Yeah. Like that's.
I mean, it wasn't supposed to be his show.
Right.
That's what I was wondering.
But I thought he showed up in one. But the whole point was like it was an anthology series and it was going to bounce around in his life.
Mm. Oh, I got it.
And so one episode would be him at 15. The next one might be him at 50.
He's an adult sometimes. I thought it was always like.
I guess it was always young. But I don't think it was like this. It wasn't like a chronological telling of his life.
I think it's a great idea because if you think about it, you've got these films and he goes on all these great adventures and, you know, obviously he's not just going on one adventure every 15 years or whatever the time period
is. It's him trying
to
get
around.
Tenure at the university.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's like, it's a fun idea. And so they took some ideas and like Dial of Destiny, I think came from a comic book. It was already an idea.
Oh, is that right?
And there's video games where he goes on different adventures. So throughout the time.
Oh, I wonder if I have that comic book.
You probably do.
Because I do have, a lot of the Indiana Jones Dark Horse stuff.
Yeah,
So I've got the Marvel stuff.
I've got the Marvel stuff too. Yeah,
that's like just the adaptations.
Yeah.
That was my second, I'll never forget this. Zach Davidson, my second grade teacher, was like, if you get 100 on this spelling test, I'll give you a comic.
Oh.
And so like it was the.
We have him to thank for being on this podcast.
That's true.
Probably.
That's probably true. He would give me, it was the limited series of Temple of Doom, I think.
But there was an ongoing series, too.
Oh, so I had I just have the adaptations.
Yeah, they had an ongoing series as well.
And, of course, I got to keep getting hundreds because there's more than one comic. It's
like, there's other way to acquire a comic book.
Only the teacher has the 1 through 4. I got to keep going.
I find out how Richie Rich ends?
But that's that was one of the, you know, like the, I remember reading those comics and just pouring over that because I wasn't allowed to see that movie.
Right. Mm. Well, and back then those comic book adaptations, you know, it was before the age of home video or there was this long lag time between when it, you know.
Oh, big time.
But, like, yeah, when I was getting, like, those Star Wars comics, like, that was it. Like, you weren't going to watch that at home, so you would get the comic books.
That number two is a pricey book.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
But, so, anyway, you know, that always makes me wonder, did Steven Spielberg invent fan service?
Oh.
Because if you think about it, that scene with River Phoenix in Last Crusade, mm-hmm. where, like,
he gets the cut.
He falls into the thing of snakes, and he gets the hat the whip. And
that plays so much worse now. That irked me to no end.
Really?
I do not need to see one adventure he went on where he gets 50 of his trademark things. Oh, so he just acquired in one day, he decided he was going to do everything for the rest of his life.
I'm going to get that whip. I'm going to get that hat. So I'm going to get that scar.
I mean, if this is what...
At the time... It was kick-ass.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I mean, because you're like, oh, yeah, that's... But seriously, watching it now, because we've been hit over the head with fan service, that feels so cheesy. If you just tell me that's how he found his hat and he already had a whip, and you're like, okay, he's got the whip.
Right.
Like, cool. How he got his hat? Fine, on one adventure. You cannot give him, I'm scared of snakes, I got my hat, I got my whip, that guy wears a leather jacket, I'm going to get one like him. It was so annoying.
When I saw this movie, the hat and the whip got an applause break from the people in the theater.
This was a very interesting watch. Like the audience that I was with was
intertwined.
Intertwined, yes. Was just all over the place. Like you had like college kids, but you also had like elderly folks, but then you had, it was just like, I don't think I realized how across, like, everybody loves Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Like nobody doesn't like Indiana Jones and they just show Nazis. Up for That's true.
Yeah.
That's fair.
This is a four quadrant which hit.
In today's world, if you're counting Nazis, it's a three quadrant.
Oh, true.
They got their own quadrant.
They've had a resurgence.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You know, after I saw this, I wondered if people who were not alive when the first movie came out would even care that there's a new Indiana Jones
movie. My kid doesn't. I've tried for the last 3 months to get her to watch Raider. She's like, no.
But my son has never, even though I enjoy the movies, I've never been like a super fan of them. Like this rewatch is my first time watching them in years. But he's never seen any, and he didn't even want to go to the movie because he's like, I haven't seen any of those, and he didn't really have any interest. Yeah.
Raiders is, I will revisit that more than like twice a year.
Raiders is the one. Yeah, I've probably seen Raiders the most.
Yeah.
And then Crusade when I was a kid.
I got to tell you though, that opening sequence in Temple of Doom is amazing. The whole Kate Capshaw and the
it's big fun
musical
with
number
the, with fun. The vial on the floor,
yeah, and just like, and roll and him rolling the big table. It's but I mean it's beautifully shot.
It's fun.
It's incredible.
For sure. Yeah.
Club Obi-Wan.
Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. I never noticed that.
You know, did you notice who the pilot of the plane was that he escapes on?
No,
it's Dan Aykroyd.
Well, yeah, Dan Aykroyd. In the very beginning,
Sure,
they don't
even
show his face.
Yeah,
it's hilarious that he's. But you know, the thing is, tonally, so watching them all in a row, Temple of Doom takes a really weird tonal shift. Not
Big
only
time.
Is it darker in those scenes that we talked about when they get into the temple and everything, but it's so goofy. Talk about Saturday morning cartoon. I mean, that opening sequence is goofy as can be.
Very much so.
Like silly, and not in a bad. Like I enjoyed it, but it sure does get silly if you just watch Raiders. And so I could see audiences. Where they had seen it so many times in theaters, and there wasn't home video at that time?
So there was home video. It was fledgling. But I will also say, if you bought a VHS, if you spent the $89.95 on a
you'd
VHS...
You'd watch Raiders 100 times.
Raiders would be one that you would have spent that on.
You'd have burned that tape.
At this point, it's on cable. And
yeah.
Because Doom is, 84?
Oh, is it that much later?
Yeah. It's like, no, it's only 2 years later,
I thought. Wasn't it like 81, I thought?
No, Raiders is 81.
Doom is probably 83
that makes sense,
or 84.
Then. 84, yeah.
Yeah. And so at that point, it's also been on cable, repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I was thinking, we were talking about when they filmed the movie, so my years were off.
Oh, okay.
We were trying to figure out budgets, and there's a huge jump in inflation. We were doing inflation calculator. So Raiders had a $20 million budget. Which today would be a $60 million budget. Modest, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Dial of Destiny had a $290 million budget.
So I just watched a thing on Superman 78, and the budget for, I don't remember what the budget was for that one in 1978, but they adjusted it,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a $250 million movie.
It was
$250?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, for in 2023.
Yeah. Because they had to. Because they hired big name actors.
They did.
No movie had ever hired big name actors, and they had to back up a truck full of money because it was slumming.
And didn't Marlon Brando get $10 million or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. They I was in my head it was 12, but I was questioning it cuz it seems like so much.
Yeah.
But
he was the highest paid actor for screen time, right?
And that's why they like only used half the footage and then they
Yeah. The only reason I'm bringing this up is cuz I just watched this is he filed some sort of lawsuit. So they took him you know that weird scene in Superman 2 when he goes to the Fortress Hall and he talks to his mom?
Right.
Well, that was supposed to be Marlon Brando.
That's one of the things where they did the lawsuit where you cannot take footage from the first movie.
They took him out of all kinds. Like, there's the... they show him getting shot to Earth. They took him out.
These producers had done that before.
All kinds, yeah.
With the Three Musketeers.
Yep.
They like, filmed a bunch of footage and then... They paid the actors for one movie, but made two movies.
Yeah.
And they were like, whoa, 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 pump the brakes. And they thought they were going to do it to Brando. And then, yeah.
Well, they also said that, like, we were going to do that. That way we could have the sets, like the Krypton set or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have to put them in storage. We could just leave them out.
But you know
just
what? Go back and you forth. Can do that. Back to the Future 2, Back to the Future 3. You can do that. But you got to pay them for
pay
it.
Them.
The thing that the important detail they overlooked was telling the cast that was going to happen.
Yeah, right.
You know, fun thing with recycled sets that they did that with Dracula. They used to do that with some of the Universal movies.
Yeah. Oh, where
they would film Spanish versions of the movies at night.
That's right.
On the same sets.
I think
there's actually a shot for shot. I think it was either Mexican or Portuguese. For some reason, I want to say Portuguese remake of Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And awesome at the same time.
Yeah.
I've seen some of those comparisons where it's like the same script, different actors doing the same thing on the sets.
Yeah.
I feel like that really Universal box set might have
a version.
Maybe. Interesting. But yeah, so Crystal Skull comes out in 2008. And it's trash. Like, it's insane how bad that movie is.
I haven't rewatched it, but I know everybody, like, remembers hating The Refrigerator. That's not the part that bothered me. It was that final scene where it's like there are aliens and, like, I'm like, Indiana Jones isn't about aliens.
But you know what's funny?
Like, what are we doing?
We're giving them shit about aliens, but in this one we're like, yeah, time travel makes sense.
But that's the thing, though, is again, watching them back to back, because I wanted to. I didn't really have super strong memories. I wanted to see, like, what type of movies are these? What do they deal with? And so if you see the stuff Indiana Jones deals with, it seems like aliens and time travel are right in line with the
Ark of the Covenant
stuff, the God, power of God. I mean, it really feels like they're just progressively going, what's the next thing that he deals
with? Of those movies deal with God,
religion, yeah,
yeah. I mean, like Ark of the Covenant and the chalice, whatever it's the
Grail,
the Grail, yeah.
But I guess Temple of Doom kind of does too. It's just a different religion.
That's true,
and that's always kind of been the take with Indiana Jones is like it's all true. All these mystical things.
That's why he said that in Star Wars.
Yeah, it's all true, right? Yeah. It doesn't say, like, well, the Christian stuff is true.
Yeah,
These other cultures, well, they were dumb.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It's like all of that stuff has mystical properties and will work in the right situation.
Yeah. And this one does, I think this one's a little long in the tooth. I don't think it needs to be 220 or whatever it was. Yeah.
It felt too long.
You could take...
It's 245.
Is it?
Yeah. Almost.
You could take 30 of it out.
Yeah.
I think.
I was feeling it. I had fun during the movie, but there were times, it was either the end of the second act or beginning of the third. It was long. It all blurred together.
Yeah.
But I'm going like, all right, please.
I do. I kind of like, you know, I like this version of Indiana Jones where he's old.
Yes.
And he looks old and he moves like an old man. Like
he's
old. Always run kind of weird. Like if you ever, you're like, why are you running like that? That's strange. But in this one, it's like, oh, his knees are
doesn't run as weird as Michael Keaton.
That's true. But I like that there's a scene towards the end of the movie where he's climbing up a wall and the character that he's with is climbing up with him. And she's like, what is taking you so long? And he's like, oh, well, my shoulders are shot and my back is collapsed.
Like
I've been shot 9 times. And like, I was like,
I still climb a fence better than Liam Neeson.
But that's like, we never see that. We never see, you know, the when these older actors come back to do these roles, Sylvester Stallone is a prime example where it's like, oh, you just pumped yourself full of HGH and we're ready to rock and roll. This is the first time I remember looking at Harrison Ford and be like, damn, you are old.
Because he's human and we're all human and we all age. And I think it's important in these movies to put a real human being up there and be like, how would an older gentleman, you know, how would a guy that's, you know, he's this amazing explorer, he's been doing this for, you know, whatever, 60 years or however long he's been in the biz, but it's like, how does he hold up? How does he do an adventure at this age rather than turn him into an invincible superhero? And that's the problem I had with Crystal Skull, is when they put him in the refrigerator and they send him on an atomic blast and he lands and he's okay. It's like, Indiana Jones is a guy that gets hit, he bleeds, he gets hurt, and they turn him into a superhero at that scene. I know there's a lot of stuff that happens in the movies that's kind of silly, but that was the point where I checked out.
Where that's from, right?
What's that?
The refrigerator. That was going to be the DeLorean. That's the whole thing. Like, the refrigerator was going to be the DeLorean, and that's...
Which is ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous. But it's also just insane to me that Zemeckis and Spielberg are like, yeah, we'll put in Indiana Jones. Nobody will bat an eye about it.
But if he wants to establish the time period in Crystal Skull, they want the atomic stuff to be in there.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with showing a shot of that. But this is how I would fix it. It's a 4-minute scene. You could cut it and the plot is completely unchanged. Take the whole fridge thing out of there. If you do want to have it in there for some reason, he gets into the refrigerator. It's lead lined. Fine. I'm good with the concept. He gets in there, closes the door. He can't open it. And a cleanup.
Punky Brewster saves him.
Kyle Rayner walks in, finds him.
A cleanup crew comes in with all the hazmat things, opens it for him, or they wheel it out of the area so he doesn't get exposed, and then they check him over and stuff. The fact that it goes flying in an atomic blast, he's in a metal coffin and hits the ground after a blast, and he comes out without one scratch on him. It's just...
He Vin Dieseled it.
That's what I mean, and that's the problem. You have to show these action stars. You know, why do we love Bruce Willis and Die Hard? He's the everyman action star.
Kurt Russell's a prime example.
Yeah.
Both those guys.
I think that you can relate to those characters, and Indiana Jones is not someone I consider invincible. He gets in insane situations,
He always wins, but it's always just barely.
I think that's why we love him. The guy is about to fall down a hole or whatever, and he miraculously swings to safety. It's just, he gets out of it, but he never gets into an impossible situation and escapes unscathed.
I was shocked to find out in this movie that he had been shot 9 times because I didn't think bullets could hit him.
Well, it's the stormtrooper theory, right? Or just everybody's bad shots.
Well, he is normally getting shot at by stormtroopers.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Yeah, the only explanation in this movie, the only explanation to where toward the end of the movie he gets shot and then continues to be pretty okay for the next 20 minutes is a bullet caught the bullet. That's the only possible.
Is that what they, did they say that? No. Oh, I was that's hilarious.
He's been shot so many times, the only explanation for how is that guy still okay.
Well, you know the movie rule. If you're a villain's henchman and you're shot, you're dead and gone and never seen again. If you're on the hero's side or you are the hero, doesn't matter where you're shot, you've got the rest of the movie to live before you get fixed up.
That bullet is like in his heart. Like the way that bullet is like here. And I was like, man, you ain't gonna
make
it.
I'll never understand why, if they want the hero to be shot, why they do it on the left side. Like, why do they not just make it on the other side and you could accomplish...
I want you to think, maybe.
Well, that's true.
I got to tell you, though, I did think in this one, I was like, maybe.
Thought they were going to do
because
it.
They set up, what's her name?
There's no way you can continue this franchise with a different actor.
I don't disagree with
There's,
you.
It cannot be done.
Well, no. They thought they were going to, and then they
you don't think they're ever going to pass the torch?
I don't think so.
Like, they were talking about Chris Pratt before he came back for this one. They were like, who could take over?
No, well, you can't reboot it either.
I don't think so. I mean, never say never. They might try. I just can't believe it would work.
I agree.
They were going to, right? Like, that's the whole reason.
I mean, there was
and rumblings. Look what happened.
They killed that poor bastard off screen.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. There's the scene where
that's true.
Indiana Jones is walking down the street and he's wanted for murder. And there's that throwaway line from the newscaster where they're like, they lost it. He lost his son in the war. I was like, that's what we're going to get?
Because I was instantly like, wait. Did they have another son? I was like, wait, no, they got back together when they were 115.
Yeah, right, right.
So, like,
but it's like, man, they sure did do Mutt dirty.
Mutt did himself dirty.
Yeah, that's the way that the actor, sure, but it's like, geez, he died in the war.
Not even, but it's like, I thought we were going to get.
Also, like, he died in the war. Like, the last one took place in, what, 55?
Yeah.
So he signed up to be in the military when he was, like, 38?
I guess. Well, isn't that kind of what he said? He's like, I couldn't stop him from going. And
he's 38.
Well, you can't. Well, I don't know.
I just, he would have, like, following the timeline, that guy would have been, like, pushing 40 when he signed the army's like.
But the timelines are all wonky. Yeah. The way they jump around and the way they age, it's like, I can't follow. I posted on Twitter that Sean Connery was not even 12 years older than Harrison Ford, and I never questioned it. He's convincing. Like, that age difference with the beard, and they made sure Harrison Ford was always clean shaven. So
they did, didn't they?
Yeah, it looked right.
It's like in The Graduate, Anne Bancroft wasn't even 10 years older than Dustin Hoffman.
Right. But, I mean, so I'm not saying it can't ever, you know, sometimes we give them crap and it's obvious, but in this case.
Or Sally Field. She played Tom Hanks' love interest in Punchline, and 2 years later, she played his mother in Forrest Gump.
Now, at least it wasn't the other way around.
Yeah, in fairness, she had to play the mother of Forrest when he was 10 when he was 30, so, like, you know.
They put a little makeup on her.
They do that. What was the other? Was it something with Blake Lively where she had to go through time periods and they...
As a matter of fact, it was our highest downloaded episode.
Is it Age of Adeline with Harrison Ford?
Because people thought it was Age of Ultron.
That is so weird. That's our Deep Fried Tacos 6 might have taken it over. Whatever.
Oh, really?
One of the Deep Fried Tacos took off. It was during COVID, and I think somehow people found us, you know, trying to listen to podcasts during COVID. And that one Deep Fried Tacos episode just
that's all real special.
But okay, so this one kicks off with a de-aging thing, and I will say I'm really glad that the rest of the movie they let him be old, like you mentioned. Okay, the de-aging technology is probably, the deep fake stuff is probably the best we've ever seen.
This was really good.
So yeah, I agree.
It's funny, they have to just push it just a little bit. So when it's just his face, I think it looks it's eerie.
Talking.
It is eerie how much they also shouldn't let the 80-year-old Harrison Ford do the voice of a 40-year-old Harrison Ford.
The problem's the voice, because it looks so good, and the reason why is because Lucasfilm has thousands of hours of archival footage. So actually used the real footage that we haven't even seen, and so that's why it looks so good, and the technology is a new program.
Where it loses it, though, is when they have the rope around his neck, because now you've got to animate the rope and the face, and there's just the movement is off just a little bit.
The problem is too much movement. When it's just him, it's perfect. When it's him talking and it's 80-year-old Harrison Ford, they should have
changed. You would think they could do something to pitch correct that voice.
That's what I thought.
Well, you know that with AI stuff, I mean, you feed in real dialogue and they should be able to use that.
This is the part that is scary to me. Like, when it comes to filmmaking, is when you can take Christopher Reeve, for example.
Well, I think it's different when the guy's alive. With his permission, I think they should have been able to tweak it.
I just mean in general.
I know, but I'm just saying, if Harrison Ford is like, yes, you can de-age me.
And it's still his performance.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. But the Christopher Reeve thing's different. So I think using it as a tool for people that can agree to it and all that is a little bit different than if you can take people in their archival footage and resurrect them.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Just wait for Fast 11 when we get Paul Walker back on that ship.
But anyway, it looked really great, and I think it's the best we've ever seen, but it's still uncanny for those reasons we mentioned. And I was like, please don't do this constantly throughout the movie, because I want to just see Harrison Ford. Let him do his thing.
I feel like they're real close, though. They're real close to getting that good
That's
enough.
What I mean. It's close, but it's the movement. It's because they have to, they speed it up. It does a little bit higher frame rate, and it looks kind of like a video game during the action sequences.
Yeah.
They just can't quite get it at 24 frames per second to
me. This is the Pixar thing where they're like, you'll watch that short and you're like, okay, that's them trying to figure out water from Moana.
Oh yeah,
right.
And then we go to Moana, they figured it out.
This is, like I said, this is the best we've ever seen, and if they perfect this, if they do take it to that next notch. but again, in this application, I think the way they're using it is the way to use it. Now if they use it for creepy reasons to
when you compare that, the Christopher Reeve from 2 weeks ago, to the Harrison Ford of it feels like Warner Brothers Disney must have the rights to this version of it, because nobody else can do it.
Their Marvel stuff has been incredible, right?
Yeah,
when
every
time.
When
we saw RDJ and all that stuff, I mean, they've...
The Michael Douglas stuff is insanely
really good.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
Michael Douglas one was the first time where I actually go oh, holy crap. RDJ was okay, but it hung a little long, and I'm this is wonky. When I saw that Michael Douglas opening, it was that's him.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
So, Tom, maybe this is the way that the franchises continue. They just use the deepfake Harrison Ford.
Would Harrison Ford be like, it's okay, pay my family? Yeah, I mean, I wonder if he would.
I don't know. I mean, he doesn't need the money.
No.
Like, I mean, some actors reach this point in their career and they need the money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He doesn't need the money.
And now he's in. Now
but
he's
if, it's got, his fan, if his family can get $20 million.
Yeah, but like he's probably already worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So like they don't, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, so if, you know, there's a difference between, like, it seems like. Like Bruce Willis must have needed the money mm-hmm. with all those roles he took.
Yeah.
You know, on the decline. I don't think he does. So
no, yeah. I don't think he does either.
He's also crotchety.
Yeah.
I will say he did. He it was, you know, doing inter press for this or whatever. And there's Kevin McCarthy, I think is the critic's name, that kind of said, he's like, look, I just want to tell you, thank you. Like this, you have no idea what this role meant to me in these movies, blah, blah, blah. And he gives a very like,
it's really touching.
And Harrison Ford like starts to cry.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
thank
oh.
you. It's meant a lot to me too. And it's like, wow.
Oh, you are a human being.
Well, I'll tell you what, even though he famously hated Star Wars, I noticed a change when he came back for those new Star Wars movies. Like he actively embraced Star Wars instead of hating it like he did.
I think there's something about when you hit a certain age that you can let some of that go. Like as a huge Monkees fan, I saw this with Mike Nesmith for years.
Yeah.
He was like, the Monkees was crap. You shouldn't like this anymore. And that, and he's even said in interviews when he came back and did it for like the last 10 years of his life, he's like, I get it now. He's like, it's not something I would have ever chosen to listen to myself, but seeing what it means to these people all these years later, he's like, if it means that much, then clearly I was missing it.
Same thing with Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
He hated being Spock.
Oh,
I am not Spock.
Yeah.
Stop calling me Spock. I don't want to be Spock anymore.
Yeah.
We're making movies. Okay. Will the check clear? I'm Spock.
Right.
Like Alec Guinness.
But then even for the first movie, he was not happy about doing Spock again.
Right.
And then they did Wrath of Khan. And from there on, you know, by the fourth one, let me direct.
Now let him direct it. Yeah. So it's like, okay. But so that's, I love seeing that because he is such an iconic character. Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones and Han Solo. And the fact that he.
Jack Ryan.
Well, I mean, he's done tons of roles, certainly. But Star Wars is such a huge deal to people. And for him to hate the role that people love so much is hard to see. But when he came back and embraced it, and then you saw him in interviews, and he seemed to be happy and okay to be there. And now you see him do these indie stuff, and he's embracing it. So I really like seeing that from him.
No, it was, I totally agree.
So grumpy for a while in the early 2000s.
Man,
it was like...
Yeah, well...
Get off my lawn.
Calista Flockhart made him get that ear piercing. Like, it was very weird. Yeah, so this one opens up just like an Indiana Jones movie. It's Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford and Toby Jones, and they are trying to capture a piece of history. Like, that's
so the Nazis. Real thing.
What is? The dial?
All these relics are based in reality, and then they change them for the, you know, for the story.
Right.
So this spear is something that archaeologists say exists that pierced Jesus and
in
whatever.
The side,
you know, it's some kind of an archaeological thing, or maybe they even found one and say it's the one, but this is a thing that exists. And the Archimedes dial is another one that's really a thing that they discovered.
Which makes sense.
You
know, and we know that Hitler was insane, but was way into the occult, and these are two items that are very much based in the occult.
He was also very into MacGuffins. Which is what this is in this movie.
Yes, right?
Whatever they find. Oh, look, I found an excuse to get us to the next action sequence. Yeah.
So they're there for the spear that is the one that they supposedly, when Jesus was on the cross, they pierced him with. But we find out that it's a fake.
Yes.
And Dr. Mads Mikkelsen is there. And
I love that guy so much.
Mm-hmm. I love the guy so much. But this is another problem where they fall into like the refrigerator, where the guy's on the top of a train and at 100 miles an hour hits a sign and they show him in the flash forward and he doesn't have a scar.
He does have a scar.
Well, half his face should be missing. I'm
that's
just saying,
fair.
Like, I think that it's a little weird.
He should look like he opened the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, so...
yes.
He should look like Javier Bardem in that James Bond movie, when, like, his face,
right.
like, slides off.
And you know, when we're introduced to him in the modern times and Indy's older, they shoot him one side of his face, and he's looking out the window, and I'm like, oh, he's going to turn and be disfigured. Like, no. Is that a thing, like, now where they stop making villains look...
It might be.
I think that might be why.
There was some complaints from people that villains always have... Not always, but you frequently see a villain with some sort of facial deformity.
Then make him get hit by a post on the top of a train.
In the face.
When people always explain things away like that, that's a very valid complaint.
Yeah.
You choose what happens to these characters.
Right.
He was on top of a train. He fell off. Don't make him get hit by the post then. Make him get hit in the arm.
When he puts his head up, it just gets blasted in the face by that piece of wood. I was like, oh, boy.
I mean, he doesn't have a head. You need to show him with a robot head.
He would be dead.
Have you seen her Hereditary? Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure that girl that got her head girl knocked would like off. A word
yeah. with this guy.
Did you ever see the movie Narrow Margin with Gene Hackman and Ann Archer?
No.
So it's actually a pretty good adventure movie. And the scene towards the end is Gene Hackman and this other character. I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Okay.
This other character are on top of a train, and he gets knocked down, and the other character pulls out a gun. And he looks past that character and says, "You know what I always liked about you? What? You're tall." Boom. Tunnel.
That's great.
Yeah.
And that's he's so gone. Good.
He didn't show up in the flash forward looking.
That character does not appear again. That's the end of the chase. Yeah.
That's a great line.
But so Mads yeah. Mikkelsen is this doctor working. He's like a Nazi archaeologist.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, this is a fake. And so...
And but there is this other thing.
But yeah, and then, so now it's the Dial of Destiny. They ended up finding. He's like, it's on this train,
right?
And so it's apparently it's Archimedes.
Archimedes
is
Antikythera.
Oh, there you go. That's the real
that's
thing.
That's why we have Paul on the show.
And so in real life, they discover this thing. And it was their first example of.
I actually have an Antikythera. She's my mother's sister.
Oh, but it's like a computer. You know, before computer.
Yeah.
You know, one of the early versions of a computer, and they would move a bunch of dials, and it would somehow calculate different positions. But in this world, you know, it has the power to find time rifts.
Yes, and the whole time I was like, oh, it's just going to be all bullshit. Like, it's not going to be like time, right? Time travel.
Have you seen these movies, Joe?
I know.
And which one of the four was it?
That's totally fair. It just seems
Chekhov's
like
time travel.
It does. Yeah. It does seem like aliens and time travel do feel, I don't know why.
Once they did Aliens, you can't really ever think that.
I don't
the
even
thing
think
is...
about that movie. That movie, I have
hoping
that,
they would learn their lesson.
Yeah. I have that four disc Blu-ray set. That's the only one that's never come out of the sleeve. I've never watched that. I watched that movie one time in 2008. Yeah. I've never watched it since. But it is, I was like, oh, it's just, for whatever reason, that seems like a step too far. But it's not.
I don't believe in magic, he says in the first one, and he still holds to that somehow, but he's seen some stuff.
I also
man.
Like the line where he's like, I've seen some things.
Yeah.
I've seen some weird shit. So yeah, so he and Toby Jones, they end up, you know, they get the dial, and then we flash forward.
I think it's a fun action sequence.
I think it's great.
Running around on a train, you know, fighting people, ducking behind, yeah. hiding among
very,
the Nazis.
And very Indiana Jones.
That's the biggest takeaway from this, and why I enjoyed this, is, and more than Crystal Skull, is it felt like an Indiana Jones movie.
Crystal Skull does not feel like an Indiana Jones movie.
I really like the scene in Indiana Jones where they keep all the stuff. Like... Where they keep, like, we're at the end of Raiders and they,
yeah.
You know, oh,
like,
the warehouse.
The warehouse. There we
top,
go.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the fact that they went back there.
Yeah.
To the
that was cool. Yeah. That was a cool place to set
that's
the
fair.
Scene.
And, yeah.
You know,
and then, like, the little thing.
I like the
Jeep
scene. I thought there were some good parts of
there
it.
There are parts of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
There are parts of it. But this movie, to me, feels like someone, I mean, even though it's not Spielberg, it's the only not Spielberg Indiana Jones film, I do feel like there was enough love there to where it, you know, it felt
James
like
Mangold
he
is a hell of a director.
He is.
And I think he directed the two best Wolverine movies, right? Because he did
the Wolverine
and Logan.
And Logan, yeah.
Except for the end of the Wolverine. Like, that's the problem with that movie. But, yeah. And he's doing Swamp Thing. He's attached to Swamp Thing, which could be a lot of fun for over at DC.
Overall, I liked this movie.
Yeah.
It just lacked something extra.
I don't
that
disagree
I can't
with
put
you.
My finger on. It reminds me of the last Van Halen record.
Okay.
Where David Lee Roth came back.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm listening to the album and I'm like, this doesn't suck, but I don't know that I'll ever listen to it again. Like, right? Like, it's
fair.
Like,
yep.
I'm like, they're doing all the things that I want a Van Halen record to do.
Yep.
But there's just like no hooks there.
My problem with Dial of Destiny was I had a big feeling of been there, done that. All the stunt work, all the action sequences seemed like, okay, we've seen this before. Now, in my case, I had seen it before because the night before I saw this, I saw a press screening of the new Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah, that's a hard act to follow.
Where there's also a chase down some stairs.
There's a lot of like similar stunt, like
there's a
sequences.
Scene on top of a train fight. And I got to say, Tom Cruise and Christopher McQuarrie do it better than Harrison Ford and James Mangold. And one of the things that makes it better is that McQuarrie can actually have the camera showing you this is really Tom Cruise.
That's fair.
You know it's never going to be 80-year-old Harrison Ford, but it is 50-something-year-old Tom Cruise. And when, you know, he's still the only person I know who runs perfectly upright.
Right.
But he still does. But all the stunt work is so fantastic in that movie that seeing this the next night, it was like, eh.
What was I watching where they were talking about?
Tom Cruise is 60. He turned 61 tomorrow.
Wow.
It was
That's old.
Yeah. Especially for something like that. Yeah.
I think it was the Russo brothers when they were doing Winter Soldier. And they were just like, Chris Evans doesn't run like a normal person. Like the way he runs like a superhero. Like that's when that's the on your left scene.
Yeah.
They were just like, can you run normal? And he's like, I am running normal. It's but it's very, so it's like straight up and it's just, you know, his arm, whatever. But yeah, it's that I don't disagree is Chris McQuarrie, who I think is another one who I kind of want him to get away from Mission Impossible. And like, what else can you do?
But Top Gun.
Oh, yeah. Right, right.
He didn't
do
Top Gun. That's Joseph Kaczynski.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
But I was hoping that
the Tron guy. Yeah.
I was hoping that Gunn would snatch him up for Superman. I was like, a Chris McQuarrie doing a Superman movie would be incredible. No, because we have 17 more Mission Impossible movies.
We're going to get James Gunn doing a Superman movie. So
that's true, is fine. Yeah. That's totally fine. So, yeah, so we flash forward.
But real quick, though, the problem with these movies, and Crystal Skull falls victim to the same thing. Actually, Crystal Skull does some of the action better, is that they're really filming stuff and on location and stuntmen. When you watch the first three Indiana Jones movies, because green screen didn't exist, or you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it did, but not like good enough.
Right.
Yeah, the scene on the top of the train in Dial of Destiny is a horrible green screen.
Yeah. The scene, fill in the blank, is horrible green screen. The whole movie, it's the action sequences where the film loses its luster because it all feels like Indiana Jones. But the car chase, which I think is choreographed beautifully, but every time you see them with the green screen behind them, it looks so cheesy.
Yeah.
And then
it reminded me of the car scene from 1010.
Well, yeah, or Speed Racer.
That's a great call. Didn't he direct that?
Spielberg did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spielberg,
it's his only animated movie. Yeah. But there's a big giant, like, where they're going down these hills on cobblestone streets. And
that's a fantastic movie.
It's okay.
But that's stylized.
It's a cartoon.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
And Speed Racer, stylized comic book. This movie feels like Speed Racer, but Indiana Jones is not set in a comic strip.
No, that's true.
So the problem is that even though it's choreographed beautifully, and no offense to the artists, the digital artists that made it work, like in a different movie where you're doing more of a digital feel and it is a style choice, yeah, it would look really cool. But you just can't get away from that, where I just watched The Last Crusade and a stuntman is on a horse, jumps off a horse, lands on a tank. That was all real.
Right.
The guy jumped off a horse and a moving tank and caught, like,
They killed that guy at the end. Tank out of the wrong gun, killed him.
Put a rock in the thing and a guy exploded. All of it was real. But that's the problem. And I know that, you know, it's like, that's the way they used to do it. I know they don't do it anymore. I know there's safety concerns.
Which I do.
But they action scenes.
But
just
there
don't
are ways to do that and keep people safe. Yeah. I mean, if anything, it's only become easier because you can put them on cables and then and use your CGI to erase the cables, like in
Mad Max Fury Road. That's my go-to because they can do it, but it's expensive.
You will see a lot of that in this new Mission Impossible movie.
Okay,
so it's all practical effect, mostly practical effects. Tom Cruise wants to do that, and he wants the other actors to do it too.
Yeah. And that's what makes those movies great. Yes. Like it took me a long time to admit, like, those are just damn good movies. Like I would see one and be like, I mean, it was fine. This isn't my thing, but like there are good, but it's good. And then finally by like that sixth one, I was like, okay,
no wait, it's,
hats off. These are great.
We'll talk about this next week, but it's De Palma.
With 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's De Palma is one. Mm-hmm.
John Woo
is two.
J.J. Abrams
is three.
And three. Brad Bird is four. I feel like Brad Bird is when that franchise really leveled up.
Yep. They owe Brad Bird, I mean, who is an animation guy. It's his first live action film that he's directed.
And then Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland, yeah.
Was this before Tomorrow? I feel like Mission was the first.
Yes. Yeah. No, it was. I was just saying. And then he turned around and did Tomorrowland.
We covered Tomorrowland. Yeah.
Yes.
But that fourth one, that's my favorite. Is the fourth one. Obviously the tone changes. Brad Bird sets that thing up. They would not be where they were today if it weren't for Brad Bird in that fourth one. But yeah, they're great movies and they're great action. So that's the thing. When you see all this green screen stuff happening, it takes you out of it. And you look at films like big Marvel movies, and we talk about how good the Guardians series is. Mm-hmm. You know why? James Gunn has people on wires. Yeah, they're in big blue areas, but they're on wires, and so they're moving. The physicality's there.
Well, I know we give Zack Snyder all kinds of but
I've never complained about the look of a Zack Snyder movie.
I watched some behind the scenes.
If anything, we've always said he should go back to being the DP.
Right.
Like, you should let him make it.
Don't be the guy in charge.
Right. Let him make the movie look a certain way.
His visuals are incredible. I mean, think about 300 and Watchmen.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
how he hit the scene. Like, well, there's, you know.
I was watching a behind the scenes feature on Man of Steel. Just because like it was on YouTube and like it was the next one to roll in.
Secret Man of Steel. Yeah, no. Hey, this guy but says he changes.
They've got that that scene of Henry Cavill when he gets knocked backwards.
Yeah,
and he's on wires and they pull him backwards, and it's like if you just left that alone and didn't Snyder it up a little bit.
But you know what? If you don't do it on wires, if you do it with a green screen, you know what you get? You get Ant-Man Quantumania.
Yeah,
so that's the difference, right? We've always said CG is great to touch things up. CG is great to add things in. And most of the time with good CG, you do not know you're watching CG.
Nope.
There are so many films today where you're like, oh, it's all practical. I love it. They're on location. And they are. But then if you look behind the scenes, you look at the original shot and then the digital artists add buildings and stuff around the...
Fury Road is the best example of how to use CG in the right way.
Yeah, erase cables and stuff. So that's my point. So Mission Impossible, and that's great to hear, is continuing with that trend. And Mad Max Fury Road really, I feel like, was like the resurgence of action and practical effects. And unfortunately, Disney does a lot of stuff with the CG and the view or the vision, whatever that thing's called, the round thing that they
do. Atlanta.
I was like with Whoopi Goldberg and
no, the whatever that
it's
room
on ABC
is.
Though.
Yeah, yeah, you know they do that 360 thing where they can, you know, and like it's just not the same.
It's not the same.
I know that it's economical and everything, but
yeah, there's no, you know, there's no do that for your TV stuff.
Yeah,
sure.
And, you know, because you've got to work on a tighter budget,
right.
But let your move and it should be that way, because like let TV be TV and let give people a reason to go to
the theater. Right, we don't watch TV in the theater.
Secret Invasion does not look like a Marvel thing. I think it's I've liked it so far, but there is a grounded nature to that show that does not feel like a Marvel thing. It's great. It's very good so far.
Okay,
but it doesn't look like a Marvel movie. It doesn't look like, you know, whatever. So Indiana Jones is a mess. This is not the Indiana Jones we've seen. I do kind of find it funny that he was okay with like walking around in his boxers, because his body looked old. You know, like he just looks like an old man, and
dude, that guy was in great shape.
I agree with
better than me, and he's
because he's got to be the Red Hulk, and
I'm just saying, like that dude worked out for that scene because unless that was some CG touch up,
he dehydrated himself so he could get, you know,
he looked amazing.
No, he did. Yeah. That to get more vascular. That's what
Hugh Jackman. No, I know. I'm just saying.
Hugh Jackman
was
like, I can't keep doing this. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna kill myself. So he's retiring, and he just isn't happy with life. We see that he and Marion are separating, but I'm going to tell you right now, at the end of this movie, when she walks in the door, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know, like Karen Allen is one of those actresses that is one of the first actresses I've been being like, she's really pretty. Mm-hmm. I like that Karen Allen, and her and Nancy Allen was the other one, but
and Woody Allen.
No, no,
God. And Alan Alda.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah,
I'll give you that one.
Alan Arkin, rest in peace.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
But that character, that Marion character, was like one of the first times I was like, she's cool. Like, she's, you know, she was very fun. And to see her come back and get to do it one more time and to have that ending.
I remember she's in 45 minutes of Crystal Skull.
Yeah, she's in a good chunk. I mean, she goes on an adventure with
her. She does, And having her come back, I gotta tell you, didn't know she was still alive. Like, when she walks through that door, I was like, oh, man. And she still looks amazing. She looks exactly the same. And they have the recreation of the scene from Raiders, I think, was beautiful. Like, I thought it was perfect for her, like, just to flip the roles or whatever. I thought it was amazing. So, yeah.
And it makes sense that would be this cute little couple thing that they have. You know what I mean?
Yes,
it doesn't feel completely...
You want to get nuts?
Yeah, right? Like, it's like, God. It's like sometimes it's like something that a character...
Remember when I said that to the Joker 35 years
right,
ago?
Right, like, who is that for? That's for the audience, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
I got to tell you, that whole Karen Allen thing, as nice and heartwarming and nostalgia-filled as it was, I blame that for making the movie run too long. I was done with if Indy had stayed in old Greece when he
and
when he
ruined
gets, when
time
he gets that option.
Yeah, the problem is though
he can't
is that
stay.
If he did, they'd be getting all the modern knowledge, and it would they
no,
would probably
he
all
dies
be...
from the gunshot wound oh. that nobody in Greece can heal.
That's
he's
true.
In old Greece for a day, I, you know, at least he gets what he wants.
There that's was I, yeah. when they find the tomb of Archimedes. And they see the watch on his arm, and I was like, "If you tell me that that's Indiana Jones in the tomb," and I was like, "I'm gonna be real mad."
But how long is the Karen Allen sequence? Maybe 10, 12, 15 maybe. Minutes? I don't know.
Oh,
something
I don't
like
think
that.
It's that. I would give it 5.
10 minutes.
Is that
maybe.
All?
Yeah, because okay. It's just he wakes up and she walks in the door.
Well, like I said, by that point, I was thinking, "Come on already, let's go. This is over. Come on, we're well past 2 hours. We don't need anything else."
But you get it.
But you get it.
Yeah. get it.
So yeah, so he's retiring, and we are introduced.
This is the 60s, right?
It's 1969.
Yeah, the moon landing. We're introduced to Toby Jones's daughter,
Phoebe Waller-Bridge,
and who is
Fleabag?
Right? Wombat.
Wombat.
Fleabag. That's her show.
That was the thing that made her famous.
He thought I was calling her.
They call her Wombat.
She had a very popular show.
That was funny that Joe had no recollection of the show.
None whatsoever.
Great moment. Like, did we get the video still working? Okay.
Yeah, I was like, no, it's Wombat. What's wrong with you?
Oh, that was a real spoilers moment for the 20-year show. That's getting a...
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved everything about it.
Yeah, right, right.
Okay, mental note.
There's so many that I've screwed up.
Where she... We can just call her Fleabag the rest of the movie.
Yeah, no. It's Wombat.
Because that's so much better. Yeah.
But I also find that funny that Indiana Jones is just giving these children... random ass nicknames, you know, like Short Round, yeah. Wombat, Mutt. Like these are, come on.
Well, he didn't give him Mutt.
I guess that's true. Yeah. Karen Allen named him Mutt.
They had to call him Mutt so that instead of putting Henry Jones the third on my jacket, you know, can't find out till the end.
She shows up and they have this, you know, this reintroduction to each other. And she's basically saying that I know that you've got this thing, or let's go, we need to go get this thing. I'm in kind of trouble. Can you help me? Indiana Jones goes to this secret compartment that I think was pretty great. Like, it did feel... I thought when they walked into that room, I was like, oh, this is all a shit. Yeah. Like, this is all the things that Indiana Jones has collected forever, but I think it's not.
No, because he puts a lot of them in museums.
Yeah.
It belongs in a museum.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
he tells us that a lot.
But this is the stuff
which
that, like...
I was wish the movie would have dealt with the idea that, like...
Cultural appropriation?
It doesn't belong in a museum right. unless it's a museum... of the country it's from,
right?
Like, it's like we have really shifted. Like, you know, he's not necessarily as heroic with a modern eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, even though his heart was in the right place, like he at least he wasn't one of these guys that's trying to sell it like she is. But you know, but that is not the take people have on archaeology.
They did not want to make $20 opening weekend. Do you know if they went that route? You've already got the anti-Lucasfilm people that hate Star Wars, hate Disney, hate all that stuff.
Kathleen Kennedy,
and if
all
then
that.
You made the movie about how Indiana Jones is bad for.
Now, I'm not even saying that he's bad, but it would have been nice if there had been some way to like at least acknowledge that like. Maybe that doesn't
Can you see
belong.
The headlines now? God, yeah. We would never
well, you
hear
remember,
that.
Like,
indie.
Yeah, do you remember the backlash that Blue Beetle got when George Lopez is like, Batman's a fascist?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, how dare you say Batman's
how
a fascist?
How dare one random character in a film have an opinion I don't agree with?
Make a random joke about Batman.
Jeez.
Come on. Wait till it comes out.
Like, it's not like it's the premise of the goddamn movie.
No.
It's like the guy's cranky comic relief father is describing Batman as a fascist.
Yeah, so he gives her the dial, and then we see the good guy from the Shane Black Predator.
Yeah.
That's who that guy is. And I was like, that's who he'll always be at this point.
Yeah.
And we see that Mads Mikkelsen is still alive, and we find out that Mads...
And his face looks great.
Face looks perfect.
Don't worry about
that
him.
Little scar on his forehead.
Don't worry about him. He's fine.
and he's Werner von Braun.
Yes.
The Nazi who came to America to help launch the space program. That's what this character supposedly did, too.
Right. Mm. Yeah, he put us on the moon, basically.
And so the government is basically like, to pay him back, we'll help you get whatever you want. Or they were like funding him.
They were letting him do his own little side stuff because he got us to the moon. What the government doesn't know is that he wanted to go back and be the new Hitler.
Yeah.
It's really the goal. He believes that the U.S. didn't win the war, that Hitler lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And if Hitler hadn't made these multiple mistakes along the way, the Nazis would have won. So his goal is to get both pieces of the dial, find the right spot, go back in time, kill Hitler, and then be the new Hitler. It doesn't happen, which I think is great.
Yeah, Indiana Jones wins.
Yeah, and yeah, surprise.
But, you know, anytime there's a discussion, I mean, not even in movies, but in real, if you go back in time, what would you do?
Kill
the majority
Hitler.
Of people say kill Hitler. Yeah. Well, here's a guy who wants to kill Hitler, and now he's the villain?
Yeah, I think you got that whole thought experiment wrong.
Yeah,
that's
right,
not
right.
How it's supposed to.
But I think it's an
well, I think the difference is he wants to go back and take Hitler's job.
Yes, I know.
Right? Like, it's not.
I can. This isn't me saying I can. This is Mads Mikkelsen being like, I can be a better Hitler than right. Hitler was.
Or if he'd been like, I want to go back and kill Hitler because he was such a bad artist.
But it is, it's a very, I almost said James Bond. It's a very Indiana Jones plot, right? It's just the Nazis want to win and they can't. And I do, and I thought that scene with Mads and the waiter, I thought was a that was
attention.
Good. Like it, I mean, I'm not going to say it wasn't on the level of Christoph Waltz and Inglourious Basterds, but it did have that vibe.
Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen is a great actor.
So he good.
Is. He really
so,
is.
So good.
I think the villain in this movie,
maybe that's what it is though.
He's written a little bit like, I mean, it's not his fault. He's a great actor, but I do feel like the villain doesn't quite have the oomph of a
Belloc?
Great villain. Yeah, he just doesn't. I don't know. There's something about him where I feel he's kind of.
Belloc is great because he's such a swarmy little prick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically,
they show up,
they kill a bunch of people, and they. Indiana
Are they
Jones.
Russians? He's hired Russian mobsters? Or are they German? I can't remember.
One of them they hired was the largest person I've ever seen in a movie.
I do think they were trying to get a new Indiana Jones in Short Round. I think that's what Phoebe Bridgers and the kid.
Teddy.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're trying to do. And if it works, they can do a Creed and have Harrison Ford kind of be like the side kid.
Boyd Holbrook is the guy you're thinking of that was the good guy in The Predator. He was in Logan. That's the other one.
Oh, James Mangold.
He was in Logan, yeah. So Logan, The Predator, The Host, The Sandman, The Corinthian.
Oh, he's the
guy
Corinthian.
Yeah.
That's right.
Man, that's where I was so thinking good. That's where he looked familiar from. That was really
That show's
good.
Fantastic. I was reading along, like, episode to chapter, and it is
I was doing the same thing,
almost
I got
spot
it on.
I think he was also in Vengeance.
Really?
I think
he the brother, and
he's the brother. He's like the guy, the main guy in the movie
there
that's not BJ Novak.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, you're right. He is. Man, that was a good movie too.
And
a
good movie. Olivier Richters is the largest human being to ever walk. He's a Dutch-born actor, professional bodybuilder, and fitness model.
Makes sense. So. He's a giant man.
But there's a big chase, and this is one of my favorite parts of the movie. I think when Harrison Ford's on the horse and going through the subway, that's such a fun action sequence.
Paul was not a fan.
Oh, I really liked it.
What did you like about it, Paul?
Again, I had seen Mission Impossible the night before.
Fair enough. I think that your view is so skewed by the...
I'm technically not even able to say anything about the movie until a week before it comes out.
You just said you saw them back to back.
I know, I did. Yeah. I know. Yeah. But
although by the time this airs, you'll probably be safe.
Yeah, I think by next week when it airs, you'll be good.
All right. But the horse in the subway is just ludicrous. And, of course, jumping out of the way of the train a couple of times just in case. Because everybody who's never ridden a horse can control a horse to that tenth of a second degree.
But he has ridden a horse. Indiana Jones, though.
But he hasn't ridden that
I understand.
Horse. That's true.
I've been in the New York subway.
On a horse. And
my throat felt bad.
Hey, it still counts. All the components.
He bought
of there.
Heroin. Which they call horse.
That's it. I was with you.
It just. I actually made that sound. That sound I just made here.
Dan's back.
Yeah, get the maracas. But I don't know. I liked the chase sequence. Again, the problem with me was the CG and the parts that looked so fake. But I think it's a really fun, planned out action sequence. And I really enjoyed him trying to escape from these guys. He keeps getting locked behind gates. Phoebe Waller-Bridge does the double cross thing and leaves him there to fend for himself. And he's, you know, knocking things over, swinging and, you know, covering,
jumping on the
pushing
the,
his artifacts over.
I think it's a fun little sequence. It's very Indiana Jones.
Exactly.
What I did like about this sequence is that the rest of the movie reverts to, and I get that this is probably what people want anyway, but it reverts to an Indiana Jones movie. Once he gets out of New York City, this movie could take place in the 1930s.
Yep.
Right.
And I was kind of looking forward to how does Indiana Jones interact with the year 1969.
Thank you.
I think we
saw the interesting thing to me is I want to see an old Indiana Jones.
I would have liked more of a fish out of water adventure where he's figuring out ways
to use these skills we've seen in other movies in the not present day, but in a more modern time.
Yeah, I think we do see it when he goes down to that
scene.
When he goes down to that guy's apartment. And he was like, "God, turn down the music." You know,
but he's talking
like,
about fun action.
But I mean, I got you.
Right.
And that's why I think I liked the subway and the horse, because I'm like, look at, he's trying to figure out, he's out of his element. He's not in the jungle. He's in a subway. I liked seeing Indiana Jones. And Crystal Skull, for all the bad parts, had some really good action sequences. And there is a moment I could not believe my eyes. Harrison Ford is in the rafters. They're chasing him.
Is it actually Harrison Ford?
Well, I'll tell you what. So Indiana Jones is up in the rafters, and it might be that first sequence where they're in the warehouse with all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going, okay, the guy swings down from a rope and lands, and the camera doesn't cut and turns around, and it's freaking Harrison Ford. Like, the way they do it. And that made me think, like, man, that looked better than anything in Dial of Destiny.
Interesting.
Like, for all its flaws, the Crystal Skull has...
It's still Spielberg.
Yeah, it's Spielberg there tricks.
It for all its flaws, it's still arguably the greatest director in the history of cinema.
Yeah. If not like top three.
Now, right. I have a question for Tom, since you deal with the music business so much, and you mentioned that scene where Indiana Jones goes and yells. Yeah.
It's got to be a million or two.
How much of the budget had to go to the Beatles for Magical Mystery Tour?
$295 million.
That's several million.
It's got to be. Like, I mean, it's... So
who does that go to? Does it go to
Apple,
like
Michael Jackson?
Apple Music
goes to Apple. Well, Michael Jackson, I think
he sold it to Paul McCartney. Right? I was just joking.
Sony owns that now.
Paris and
Blanket. So, like, a lot of times if people want to use a Beatles song, the end run around it is you just pay for the mechanical rights and you have another artist cover that song.
Got it.
Right.
But to actually use a Beatles performance, I mean, a Beatles song is expensive regardless, but to use their performance of it, like, that's a lot of
money. Does it matter with the song?
Oh, I'm sure. Each one has different.
Like, if you just grab like something off a B-side, they're like, well, that's $250,000.
But you want to use this one,
I mean, $3 million.
Yeah, they're certainly going to charge more for, you know, I don't know, Hey Jude than they would for
I bet
Boys.
This was at least $1 million for that play.
They could have gotten by with the Archies doing Sugar Sugar. Yeah. They would have had the same effect.
Yeah. I mean,
by the way, that's $11.
Yes. But I thought it was a weird needle drop just because, they could have found something that...
Do you think those hippies were listening to the Beatles? I don't think so.
Not that album. In 1969, they would have been listening to Abbey Road.
Probably wouldn't. Or they'd be more likely to be listening to like Pink Floyd,
that's right,
or Jefferson Starship.
Yep. That's why I think.
No, Airplane.
Showing my age.
Yeah. Although I will say, since this is the morning when he wakes up and he's annoyed by the. They could have gone through the entire Beatles catalog before they got to Magical Mystery at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. John Rhys-Davies comes back.
Which is great to see.
Because he's one of the best Indiana Jones.
He's one
of
the best parts of Indiana Jones.
Yeah. He's his Felix from James Bond.
Lighter.
Yeah, Felix Leiter. Yeah. That's his Felix Leiter.
And I love the relationship, watching these all back-to-back and seeing him in the first and third one and having him come back. And that's what I want to see. I want to see the old team back together in their old age. How do they deal with things?
I thought we were getting a short round. I thought that was going to happen.
Especially with, his Oscar win and everything. You'd think there would maybe be a way that they could have.
Yeah, that's the one that I was like, God dang it.
People are saying make him the new, short round be not Indiana Jones, but make Short Round the adventurer.
If only they could time travel and go back knowing that he won the Oscar and then hire him.
Hey, can you sign this contract real quick? Okay, good. Thanks.
But like for a spinoff or something, you could make Short Round the new, you know what I'm saying?
He was going to, like, when Karen Allen and Harrison Ford are kissing, I thought he was going to come in the door.
They could
have
filmed that little tag if they wanted to after the Oscar.
Or maybe he was like, I'm good. Yeah. But he does have.
How many of Indy's greatest hits do you want to squeeze into one movie?
That's fair.
That would have been weird. Also, I brought this guy that I never met.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
no, they'd have to do it more organically. But I did think he was going to pop in.
What they could have done?
Made him the guy, Antonio Banderas' role.
Or Toby Jones.
Yeah. He'd have been like 19.
Okay. But you couldn't have the daughter then, I guess.
Right, the Toby Jones role would make no
sense. Antonio Banderas would have been pretty good.
I don't know how I feel in movies when they do that thing like, hey, it's that guy that you remember that's never been in any of these movies. My old friend. Like, they so introduce Antonio Banderas' character where I turn to Blake. He was at the movie and then I go, Was he in one of these?
Did I miss this?
You know, they introduce him as the same as John Rhys Davies. They introduce him the same way, where you're just like, oh, hey. It's, and he was good. And it was great to see Antonio Banderas, but hilarious that they did the familiar meeting thing.
Hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, it's like, no.
Buddy!
We were questioning, was it? Maybe it was in Crystal Skull. I don't remember. Yeah.
So, yeah, so now that he's framed for murder, he goes to John Rhys Davies.
They go on a killing spree.
There's a lot of
dead people. There's like a retirement party happening or whatever, and they just point blank kill.
Secretary, you're dead. Chairhead, you're dead.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The CIA agent, you're dead. Everybody.
Yeah, so he's basically he's trying to clear his name, and she's trying to get this device that her dad was obsessed with.
Right, I think those scenes, again, with Toby Jones, where he's losing his mind over the dial, mm-hmm. and Harrison Ford's like, oh, I gotta go.
And that's the only other flashback with de-aging that we get. And it was still good. It was, you know.
It was fine. Yeah. But, I mean, they put a hat on him so you could hide some of that face.
The Archimedes thing is only half. So they're trying to track down the other half. And
they realize that there's this boat where they found the first half that has been cracked in half. And they realize that this boat was carrying a piece or something that would get us to the next piece. So they go on a deep. And, of course, I do think that the way Mads Mikkelsen in this is almost like Jason Voorhees, where he just teleports and he's there. I was like, they were so like when they are on this boat.
This franchise is always done
that's
that.
True. That's true.
Just put a map up and you can get anywhere you want.
But I mean, like, I like the new take on the map.
I did too.
What was good. It? I was bothered because it didn't look like it.
It was more like kind of a 3D vision of the
map. Yeah, it was more.
How do they not do the paper map? Like, I mean, I don't know. Those are the things where like James Mangold made this feel like a Indiana Jones movie, but then he didn't do certain fan service things like the end credits don't play over the last scene.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of that.
Where it's like
you'd get the little like circle down.
The opening shot wasn't the Paramount logo, mountain. It was the Lucasfilm logo.
Yes.
Where I just feel like, aren't there certain things that I feel like you should just do for.
Is Paramount still around?
Yeah, they produce this movie.
I think they have some sort of contractual. Okay. They didn't actually produce it.
You remember Paramount Plus? They're still around. God, they have a whole streaming service.
I always forget that.
But everybody does.
But they're all together.
CBS, all the Indiana Jones movies have always opened with a shot of something looking like a mountain.
Yes.
And then it dissolves from the Paramount logo.
Right.
This one didn't.
It's like
that.
The Star Wars movies not starting with the Fox fanfare. It's like you just feel like
20th century films.
Yeah. There just should be. It's, I don't know. Some things they should.
No,
do,
I agree. But so just we'll just kind of cruise.
They go down.
They get the piece. The Nazis show up real quick and kill one guy. Then they basically Phoebe Bridgers. You think she's going to turn on him again, but she's got like a stick of dynamite and everybody gets away. And one of the things that I've always loved about the Indiana Jones movies is you think he's an idiot. Like, he has these moments where you think, like, God, you're so dumb. But he is always
the everyman.
One
that's
to two
thing.
Steps ahead, though. Because he's like...
He's like half a step ahead.
That's fair.
That's what I like.
That's what's great, right. Yeah. He is more of your
he's
everyman.
He's just barely eking out a win.
Yeah, so he's just like, oh, no, they're going the wrong way. We don't want to go that way. We're going to go this way. We're going to go to Sicily. And that's, you know... He thinks they're going to get a leg up, and they never really do.
Right.
So they go.
Well, I mean, if you think about Raiders, right?
Yeah.
For all of its, I mean, it's a great movie. Right?
Yeah.
He has really absolutely no impact on that story of any kind.
That movie would happen without him.
They get the arc. They go to all the places. He's running around after them. He never really stops them. At the end,
he closes his eyes.
He doesn't stop them from opening it. And then they all die, and he doesn't. The end.
Right? Well, in Dial of Destiny, why does Phoebe Waller-Bridge need him?
He has some sort of he does have some because he makes that comment in the tuk-tuk.
Because she keeps trying to leave, and he tags along. Right? She doesn't really.
No, there's a he has a line. It's when he's fixing the tuk-tuk with the gum, which again he was just like I like the little like no, your gum has this stuff in it, it'll be fine.
Man, that Deus Ex Machina stuff bothers me so badly.
Yeah.
The engine's broken. You have the Moroccan gum, which is just, I don't know. That's a little bit.
But he does say something about I have the information that you need and you need me. And she was like, well, fine. I guess you can go.
Yeah. So give me the information and then I will go. You're 80 years old. You stay here. Be retired. I'm going to go and get this thing.
I mean, I think he'll just keep chasing. The thing is that, you know, he found her.
He's like a dog that chases a bus.
He's never going to stop. And so I guess, I don't know.
And he has a great line line read on the boat where he's just like, I don't have anything. Like, my kid's dead.
Oh, yeah. There's some gut punch moments.
Yeah,
this
my
movie.
Wife left me. Like, I got nothing. I got nothing else. Like, who am I here for or whatever?
And he's her godfather. So, really, like, she is the closest thing he has left. So. That's,
and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know? So they get this piece.
Antonio Banderas is dead.
Yeah, they shoot him in the chest. Shoots him. All right, thanks for coming.
A one picture deal.
That's all you get. They go to this cave, and this is where they find the body of Archimedes, and they find he's like
a Nazi. It's like the eagle or whatever, right? Like it's the
half moon. It's the crescent. Oh no, they're looking at the bird, and they're like, that has propellers on it.
Yeah, that.
And this is on the casket, and they look at the body, and there's a watch on the body.
Right, they didn't have watches.
And then he goes, I think they figured it out.
Yeah.
They may have gone back in time.
And this is the stuff with time travel that I love where I'm like, and so James Mangold made a movie called Kate and Leopold, which is a time travel
with Hugh Jackman.
Romantic.
Yeah. It's movie. Hugh Jackman and she was married to Dennis Quaid. Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a weird. That's
I love this stuff though. So James Mangold's no stranger to time travel. And it's this whole thing about like Manifest Destiny or whatever, where it's like the people in the future caused the thing that was always going to happen. So this has already happened because they did it, right? It's not that you can change whatever. It's like, no, you're doing what you're doing.
Loop. Yes, it's like a loop. That's exactly it. Time travel. Yeah. There are so many different versions of time travel where, you know, we see it. We saw it in The Flash. We see it here. We're just different.
Yeah. And this is the whole, like, not the split off and branch. This is the whole, no, you're always destined to do this. And this person does this and goes back.
Right.
And it all is supposed to happen.
So they get all the pieces together. They lose because Indiana Jones always loses at least once. And they're getting ready to go through. They find the rift in time. And again, this is the point where Indiana Jones is like half a step ahead, where he's like, you idiots. Like, you forgot about the continental drift. We're off by 10 degrees. And everybody's like, that's not true.
That's pretty good because you're like, is he messing with him?
Because he could not be.
And Mads Mikkelsen is sweating it up until he's like, stop. But then it's too late. The thing pulls him in.
And I love the way he knows about the continental drift because the luggage is moving.
And the bullets are falling out. That's the way he knew.
Okay.
A gravitational pull? I don't know.
He's a genius.
Yeah. So they go through the portal. Mads Mikkelsen's like, we did it. We're in Sicily. I'm going to go kill Hitler. And then we see the ships and he's like, but God, we went too far. And they're at the battle, this battle that they've been talking about the entire time.
Syracuse.
Not in New York. And everybody's like, you know, it's kind of hilarious where we kind of, you know, as looking back on the past, you're like, your weapons would do nothing. Your weapons would be garbage against us. But they're like throwing giant flaming boulders and it's destroying this plane.
I thought it was
a cool
concept to see all these armadas and all these centurions or whatever you call them fighting and all this happening in the background. I did not expect it in an Indiana Jones movie.
No.
Because we've never done time travel. I mean, you see weird stuff, but you're like, wow, this is really...
We did it.
Yeah. And I like that. Yeah, they're shooting down the plane with their flaming catapults.
The giant...
You've never seen planes before, and you can get a flaming spear into the plane.
They're just throwing
it. Good, man. No, yeah, I think they were launching. They had so many ships and everything.
When that Nazi gets hit with the giant spear and gets... I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anytime we can kill a Nazi, I'm for it. Yeah. So basically, this is where Mads Mikkelsen and
Boyd... Oh, and he's been shot at this point?
No.
He's already been shot because he's on the plane with the blood.
Yeah, that's right.
So, the 45 minutes of the movie happens with him being shot in his heart.
He's just sitting down. Really. You know, Harrison Ford's like, you know, I'm sitting this whole scene, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not getting
up. All right, you've been shot.
Yeah, done. So what is Phoebe Bridgers?
Oh.
The character's name. I keep wanting to call her Bex.
Fleabag. Call her Wombat.
Wombat shows up. Helena shows up, and I do like this line where she gets on the plane and she pulls the little thing, and all the Nazis standing on the trapdoor just go whoop, and they're gone. I like his line. He's like, "What are you doing?" And she's hanging by a thread. And she's like, "I'm saving you."
I really liked her in this movie.
I thought she had her moments.
Super charismatic.
I don't want a whole movie of her, but I like her.
I agree.
I think she's funny. She's charming.
Is a lot like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Like the whole character is written like Indiana Jones.
If he was more of a mercenary.
Yes. Yeah. So.
Because she's just in it for the money.
Right. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Just like the people who made this movie.
Oh. Yeah. Why does any movie get made these days? Pretty much.
True. Why does any movie get made ever?
Yeah.
Well, that's for creative expression, Tom.
Not $290 million movies.
Those go to A24. Yeah. That's right. Where those
go. Movies are made on a foot rub and a bomb
foot
pop.
Foot rub and a bomb
that's
pop.
That's the Blumhouse promise.
Yeah. Did you know that he worked for Roger Corman?
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I think so.
I didn't know that until just recently. I was like, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So, our heroes get off the plane. I just thought of, like, Air Force One.
There's one of these soldiers that's been tracking them the whole time. You keep seeing him. I don't know if he's supposed to be some famous.
But we never see that guy. We see him. We see that guy look at the people jumping out of the parachute, and then we never see that guy again.
Well, he almost kills Indy. This guy that's been tracking them is the one that's about to kill Indy.
Archimedes
comes up and is like, boop.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
But this guy has been following them, and he's like, I'm going to go get these. They think they're dragons. They think the plane's dragons.
Great. That's great.
Oh, not Short Round is like pretending to fly Chekhov's fake plane in Morocco. And then, you know, which you're like, okay, he's going to pilot
something. You're flying a plane later.
And so he's following them. And so the way that they get back through a time rift before it closes is that Short Round's tailing him with a working plane.
Not Short Round.
Teddy, thank you.
Short Round 2.
Short Round Junior.
Yeah, right.
Shorter Round.
Shorter and less round. Yeah.
Short Round, he wasn't fat.
No, he's but he's just a little kid. He's a little bean pool.
Indy is shot. We see that Archimedes does pick up Mads Mikkelsen's watch and the dial that's already been put together.
Picks up the almanac.
Yeah, right. He's like, oh, the Yankees are going to win 14-2. So Harrison Ford at this point is like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I've got nothing left. And you'd think that Helen is going to give him an argument where she's like, you're going to screw up the time stream. Like, you can't stay here. You can't do this. He's like, I'm going to do it. And she was like, then I got to do this, and just punches him in the face. And I was like, that's the most Indiana Jones thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly
elder abuse.
No.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah,
we saw how he treated his father.
I'm getting more and more upset about elder abuse every day.
So he wakes up and he's in his apartment.
And I like how Phoebe Bridges is like, he can't keep that. That's the dial that he has to invent.
We need that.
So he can't just, copy off his own homework.
I do like that she's like, she's trying to protect time.
Yeah, she's the voice of reason.
And Indiana Jones is like, nah, I'm just staying here. I don't care. Whatever.
Not my problem.
But he wakes up, and I was almost thinking, like, it's like, oh, it was all a dream.
Oh, God.
Here's you were there. Everything's scattered around.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Why do we not hate Wizard of Oz for that? Like, I hate it when any other movie does it, but when Wizard of Oz does it.
We'd never seen it before.
I guess, yeah.
You know? It's
right,
the first one to do it.
Yeah, right. A million times.
It's like, because that's what happens in kids' movies.
That's also true.
Stuart Little is a mouse who can talk.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's a good one.
And the mom gave birth to that mouse. Unpack that.
Like Gina Davis.
Is that really how it's supposed to happen? Yeah. No.
I'm pretty sure that's how it's...
Isn't that... It's his real brother.
I thought that's how that happened.
How does... Okay.
Who's the dad in that? It's House.
It's Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie. Yeah, so
Fry and Laurie fame.
He wakes up and everybody's there. Yeah, right. And you were there. And then Karen Allen walks to the door, and they have...
It's a nice...
And here's the thing, reunion. Is like, one of the things that makes their relationship so good in that first one is there is legit, like, chemistry between those two.
And she's an intellectual equal.
Yes.
Right? Like, she's not... Like, that was the problem with Kate Capshaw.
Oh, boy.
She's damsel in distress. No disrespect to her, because she's doing exactly what that movie asked her to do.
It's not her fault, but that character is so annoying. Yeah, that's why Temple has always been my least favorite, shrieking that. Ah,
is there a love interest in Crusade? Is it just him and his dad?
Well, the German that turns on him.
Oh.
Yeah, Frau.
Yeah,
Frau.
Yeah,
Frau.
Yeah. Okay.
Frau Farbissina.
Yeah, but Spielberg left his wife for her.
Who?
Amy Irving.
Dumbass. Idiot.
I mean, Kate Capshaw's no slouch.
And neither is Amy Irving.
I thought, like, as he went on these adventures globe hopping, we would run into more other people. Like, I thought maybe we do run into Kate Capshaw. Maybe we do run into Short Round. Like, I think they should have done that. Like,
because I don't know if we're getting it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Because this has got to be it.
I don't think we're getting another one.
I don't think so.
And it's a good, it's a great way to end it, right? Like, I think the way they end this, I think, is fantastic. Where, they do that, like I said before, they do the Raiders thing where she's like, right here. And then
they flip the script. It's nice.
And it's great. And then, you see his hat on the outside clothesline. And as the camera is like coming in, he grabs the hat.
Was it because she says, put the hat on? Like, no, why did he grab the hat?
I think because she asks him, but she asks him when she walks in, she's like, people are telling me you're back. Like, are you back?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
Yeah, I'm back.
I'm like, we've already used that line. You cannot.
He didn't say
He grabs the hat because Short Round shows up at the door and they have to go off on another adventure.
Oh, let's do it.
You know, speaking of bump-a-dump-a.
Yeah.
You talk about old people.
That's the official title of John Williams' song is Bump It Up.
John Williams is 91 years old and still scoring movies.
He came out of retirement for this, right?
Oh, did he really?
I didn't know he had retired. Didn't he do the Fablemans?
He said he retired. Maybe he came out for that. Did he do this too, for sure?
Yes.
Cuz he was retired and I swear he came out for one last movie.
And he does get to use Indy's theme about 52 times, which is okay because it's John Williams.
If you watch the other movies, I'll tell you what. There's like one song in Indiana Jones, and he milks the crap out of that song. Uh-huh. Every single movie, it just goes bum ba dum ba bum ba, and it's a great.
Hey man, if it ain't broke,
it's one of the greatest of all time. But I mean, it's just funny in every movie. You know how usually, even when you have a famous movie, you get like the new song that's like the new one, and you sprinkle it. But it's like, dude, every Indiana Jones movie, and then they just change it where it's like.
Well, you get lighter ones, you get slower ones, you get romantic ones, like
a minor key for trouble.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly. If the scary scene, he goes,
so good. If this is how they end it, I think this is the best possible ending. Is him and Mary, you know, Indiana Jones and Marion back together.
I mean, it's fine. The third one should have been the best possible ending.
Correct.
That's true.
It's a perfect trilogy, really. I mean, even if Temple is not that great, but it's still solid. And I think especially looking at it through modern
eyes. I like this one more than Temple. I really like. I think I like this one more than
Temple.
Temple
has practical effects.
That's true.
Temple has great makeup and practical effects.
They burned that poor guy alive. Sorry, bud.
But that's the problem, I think, is that the car chase, I think, was in Morocco, right?
Yeah, I thought that was good.
And, again, the choreography, I love the idea of the car chase, but, man, every time it just cuts back to them doing the old, you know, it looks like Lucy and Ricky driving. And it takes you back to, it's the same thing when you watch those. You know, I know there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not trying to be offensive, but... When you see stuff like Mad Max, when you see stuff like Mission Impossible, they can do it. And if you have $300 million, you can do it.
You know who was being offensive? Steven Spielberg and Indiana Jones 2. Because the Indian people were like, you're not filming any of that stuff here. Yeah. There was a big deal about how the portrayal of Indian people in that movie... And like the customs and
did hear about that. Eating the monkey brains.
The snakes and the customs and the voodoo and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, even at the time in the 80s, people were like, whoa, dude. Like there were some not happy
Pump
people.
The brakes.
That's not a thing where like 40 years later people got mad. Right. Like I remember at the time people were like, that's not really how these cultures are.
Speaking of snakes, how fake did the eels look?
They look pretty bad.
I was just about to mention
they look pretty bad.
That's what I was going to bring up. I loved the fan service of that though. Oh, yeah. Eels, and then someone says, so that's like
snake water.
I thought that was a great throwback. Yes,
like that, but yes, they looked like trash. Yeah. And luckily, it was all dark.
Yeah,
because it's the old Pirates of the Caribbean.
To me, again, it was Pacific just like Rim. Indy's greatest hits. We've seen all this stuff before. It's boring to me.
See, I didn't think it was boring, but you did touch on something where it's like maybe the Nazis and India fighting the Nazis and bringing that back. So maybe, but I agree with you, is it did feel like you're doing all the things I want you to do. And this is pretty good, but it is missing something.
I think it's because sometimes what the audience wants isn't really what they want.
Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Yeah.
Bingo.
That's 100% the best case of that, where it's like they changed everything and you thought it wasn't what you wanted, but then we see what happens. We're like, oh, no, let's play it safe. Let's give them exactly what they want. And it's like, ugh.
Suicide Squad. That re-edited Suicide Squad with all of that awful, like they're like, oh, we need to make it jokey and more like Deadpool stuff.
Yeah,
and it's
forgot
like,
about that.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wanted either one of those cuts.
Yeah, so that's.
I feel like, though, this is a movie where I do think critics are going to be harder on this movie than the general public. I think the general public is going to go to this movie and be like, that's what I wanted.
Yep.
I agree. I think the audience that shows up for this is going to be happy. I've seen online a lot of the fan reaction, like indie super fans have one guy that does all this collecting and stuff. We just became friends on Twitter. He seems like a nice guy. He's got a whole room full of stuff, has a YouTube channel. He says, I'll have seen it 5 times by Sunday. Like, I just, the fans, the diehard fans are getting what they want. And that's, it feels like an indie movie.
It's a lot of indie. And I could see this having legs. Like,
I could.
I don't think there's a big release next week. I think
Oppenheimer?
It's
Barbie.
Is Barbie next week?
I think Barbie's
Barbie
already.
And Oppenheimer are the same day.
But
That's 3 weeks out. I don't think that's next week. That's 3 weeks out. So I think next week the biggest movie is Insidious, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you get Mission Impossible. And then you get
Barbenheimer.
Oh, you're right, though.
Barbenheimer.
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 Yeah, you're right, though. This is the older crowd going to the theater over 3 or 4 or 5 weeks.
No, we had just talked about that. Is like I feel like this summer has been the most oversaturated summer I can remember in recent history. I think
COVID screwed
things. It is like every week it's like tentpole.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I feel like before COVID, you would get two or three major releases in a week. But that went after different demos,
right.
Where so you might get a comic book movie, but maybe a big rom-com,
kids movie,
like now it's like you get one big movie a week.
they're going after the exact same demos, so they're just cannibalizing the box office because people aren't going to two in a week, and they're like, well, they pick one.
Right.
And there's a Pixar movie out in theaters right now, Elemental, but I mean,
although it had a good, it had a horrible first week, but it had a
that's good.
Second week.
Oh,
like,
good.
It only had a drop of like 35% or something.
Well, that's good. I got to tell you, that stuff is all over Disney right now.
It's having some kind of legs, but it's still not what they thought. Yeah. But they didn't promote that much at all.
No.
But then I think, was it this week or is it next week that the Teenage Kraken DreamWorks movie comes
out? I think it's
out.
This week. That might be, yeah.
So,
don't release it against The Little Mermaid. That seems counterproductive.
Yeah.
But...
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Paul. You can find me on harrisonline.com.
And this is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21. You can also follow me on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
I looked up the same on Letterboxd. I could not find it.
God damn it.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And don't forget our YouTube channel or Kevin will get mad at you.
Golly.
So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Dugate falls into the lava pit. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.